I wanted to share a little message, and I'd like to start in the book of John, the Gospel of John, the fourth chapter. John, the fourth chapter, and I'd like to start reading at the fifth verse. So then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto him, unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I want to stop there. Jesus was tapping in to a need that we as humans have. And he realized that, and we want to realize that, that the earthly wells did not satisfy her thirst, her inner thirst of her soul, her inner being. And we're not just flesh and blood, we are spiritual creatures. We have a spirit, we have a soul. And people are trying to, many times, reach out. This woman had five different husbands. She was seeking for happiness. She was seeking for fulfillment, which everybody is, in one way or another. Everybody wants to be fulfilled. Everybody wants that inner part met. But we have an adversary that's trying to draw our attention to things that really don't satisfy that inner craving that we have. And every one of us have it this morning. Every one of us have a thirst. And she was trying to meet it perhaps through the relationships and I feel like people do that today. I want to say relationships can be very good. They can be very rewarding. But they won't meet the need of your inner man, your soul, your spirit. It won't quench the thirst of your heart, your inner man. Relationships are wonderful things, but they won't satisfy the inner need that we as people have. I'd like to write just a little bit of list on the board this morning. What are some of the other things? What are some of the things that we have sought for fulfillment, for satisfaction? We have any takers?
Career.
Huh?
Careers.
Does that satisfy? Brother Brent?
I was just going to say education.
Education? So far, our list are not really bad things within themselves.
Entertainment.
Does entertainment satisfy? They give you a temporary thrill, don't they? A temporary excitement, a temporary release, you might say. But do they really fulfill? Is Hollywood fulfilled? It doesn't. Fame, okay? Fame. Okay, I was hoping we'd hit that one. Religion.
Control.
Okay, that kind of go along with power.
Food.
Awesome.
What about alcohol?
That drugs, alcohol, drugs.
You know, all these things, they give a temporary, maybe, I wonder, Jesus mentioned here in the verse 14, he said, whosoever drinketh of this water, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, the world is so many people are seeking to be satisfied. And a lot of times people do many different things. Sometimes people try to climb Mount Everest. You know, this big, great feat and accomplishment that they make, or if I can get so much in my bank account. But those things fail to really satisfy the inner man. Now, I want to ask us this morning, do you believe that the Lord can satisfy? Do you really, truly believe that God can fill and meet that inner need that we as people have? And that's what he's saying here. He's telling this woman, you drink of these earthly wells, you're gonna thirst again. But if you'll partake of what I have come to give you and offer you, you don't have to spend your life seeking and searching. And our hymnal is full of songs that talk about, I've searched and I've looked and I've haven't been able to find. I want to also get a scripture here real quick in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. It says the words of the preacher, verse 1, Ecclesiastes 1:1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath the man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. You know, when you go to the cemetery, do you ever have thoughts of, wonder what that person was like? I wonder what this person was like. I wonder what they did with their life. I wonder how they lived and conducted their lives. I always have those questions when I go to the cemetery. But I think, you know, their time is over. Their time is gone. They passed off. They were alive just like you and I are alive. And he says here, one generation passeth away and another generation, it just seems like it just wave after wave comes and goes. And doesn't it make you stop and think and question, what's it all about? You know, what we eat, we drink, we live our lives, and it just What's it all about? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Now I want to go to Ecclesiastes 2, second chapter in the first verse. He said, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. So he sought pleasures. He said, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was the good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and all, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. King Solomon, he had everything at his disposal. When he started, the Israel was at the height of their kingdom. They had gold, they had prosperity, they had music, they had gardens, they had pools of water, they had everything that you could kind of wish or think. But after all that, he said, I looked. He said it was all vanity. All vexation of spirit and all vanity. You know, when we seek to satisfy ourselves outside of God, it doesn't work. It doesn't produce. We get temporary frills. We get temporary moments maybe of pleasure and excitement. But you know, the song always ends, doesn't it? The song always ends. And then there's the silence. And there's the quietness. The Lord can help fulfill our lives today. I want to read some of the lyrics of a singer, early 70s. I want to read you a few of his words. Now, this ain't out of the Bible. He said, I am, I said, to no one there, and no one heard at all, not even the chair. I am, I cried, I am, and I am lost, and I can't even say why, leaving me lonely still. Then there's a verse that says, did you ever read about a frog who dreamed of being a king and then became one? Well, except for the names and a few other changes, if you talk about me, The story is the same one. But I got an emptiness deep inside, and I've tried, but it won't let me go. And I'm not a man who likes to swear, but I never care for the sound of being alone. You know, this really, I guess, touched me. Because we live in a world that's filled with people that are reaching out. And, you know, he's talking, what he's saying is, this man became very, very popular back in the 70s. He got riches, he was on the charts and all those things. But his testimony was, I'm lost. And I can't even tell you why. And I tried to get rid of this hunger, but it won't let me go. And the story about being a frog and becoming, that's kind of what happened in his life. He came, it was almost like from nothing to being a king. He had it all. But it still didn't meet the need of his life. You know, sometimes we think, well, if I was just in so-and-so's shoes, I'd be happy. If I just had money, could do this, could do that, maybe not even necessarily rich, my life could be fulfilled. But you know, some of the unhappiest people are some of the wealthiest people. And it tells us, money don't do it. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't quench that thirsting that we have deep inside. And all these things that we wrote on the board, every one of them, it's of an earthly well. It doesn't satisfy. But did the Lord leave us? Just leave us that way? Here we are, these empty creatures that can never find purpose, that can never find meaning in life, that can never really, in the lonely, quiet hours, just be satisfied and content with who I am and how God made me and my relationship with Him. The Lord didn't leave us that way, but I want to notice another scripture here. Let's see if I can find it. I believe it's in Matthew. Forgot to write that one down. Matthew, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, Matthew 13 and 44. It said, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buys that field. Now Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field. I'm going to say that it's kind of hid. It's kind of obscured. It's kind of something that we have to seek after. It just doesn't. We have to seek after. It said he finds it, he hides, and for joy thereof goeth and sell all that he hath and buyeth that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know, that's what we have to do to find our treasure, find the treasure the Lord wants us to have, is we've got to surrender ourselves to the Lord and give ourselves to Him. And that's why many people don't find it. That's why many people don't see it. Because many people Most people want to take their own way in life. And we were that way too, all of us, at one time or another. We thought we knew what we wanted. We thought we knew what would bring us happiness and contentment and satisfaction. Where did you get with it? we can ask, and I believe Jesus was like that with the woman. You know, you've had 5 husbands. How is it now? Did you find it? Did you get that need met in your heart, in your spirit? And we can ask people that. Is it working for you? Is it producing? Is there a satisfying portion there for you? So many times the earthly wells, they don't satisfy and they don't fill. But when we find the Lord Jesus and we find salvation, it changes everything. I wrote you a song where the man said, "I'm lost. And I don't know where it's at." And this guy had fame, he had fortune, he was very popular. Let me read you another song. Yeah, it's in this book. You think it might be a little different testimony? 215. Number 215 in our songbook. Verse 1, it says, "My soul in trouble roamed upon a weary plain, and ever restless longed a perfect bliss to gain. My soul in trouble roamed." You relate to that? Number 2, "Oppressed with guilt and woe, with fears of hell o'ercast, my soul no comfort knew until I came to Christ." Verse 3, "I bore within my breast a deep and painful void. I wanted inward rest and peace that would abide." That's the testimony of billions today. That's really what people want. They want an inward rest, a peace. In verse 4, he testified, "My foolish soul had thought to fill itself with mold from earthly mines, yet bought no true and lasting gold." So in other words, he was trying to fill his life with satisfaction, contentment, seeking out. It says, "From earthly mines yet bought, no true." In other words, it didn't work. He didn't really find what he was looking for. In verse 5, he says, "And all in this world is dross, its pleasures soon decay. Its honors prove a snare, its treasures fly away." In the chorus, what did he say? He said, "I have found it. I have found it, Lord, in Thee. An everlasting store of comfort, joy, and bliss to me. How can I wish for more?" Oh, the enemy wants us, you and I, to try to lean to other things to fulfill the inner need of our spirit and our soul. And if it's not through the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't work. It doesn't fulfill. It doesn't satisfy. And you know, when I'm at the cemetery thinking, you know, we leave everything behind us. Everything, houses, lands, your bank account, we leave it all. We don't take anything with us temporally. But I read a poem one time and it made comment. It said, and it talked about that very thing. It said, you know, we leave it all. We came into this world naked. We leave it that way. We leave it without anything. And the poem brings out the only thing that we take with us is what we've won in our heart and in our soul. The spiritual blessings that we've gained from following Christ, the victories that we've won, the blessings that He's given to us, those are the only things that we carry out of this life into the next world, is what we have won down in the depths of our soul and our spirit. I want to encourage us to, you know, if we get to feeling hungry inwardly, the devil's right there to point something. He's right there to put something in front of you to make you feel like, well, this is it. This is what you want to do. This will take care of that inner need. But it doesn't do it. It doesn't fulfill. The only thing that fulfills is the Lord Jesus today. And a relationship with Him. I want to bring this out too, because I believe just like the enemy in Abraham's day came and stopped up his wells, the enemy will try to stop up our well too. Our relationship with the Lord. He'll try to put encumbrances and things there that keep us from receiving what God has for us. And we've got to, you know, part of our responsibility is to get the obstructions out of the way. Get the things that are hindering us from receiving what God wants us to have, to move them out of the way and let the river of the Lord flow. You know, in Revelations it talked about the river that started under the throne of God and it ushered out and it came out. And that's what it is. It's the Spirit of God coming from the throne of God down into our hearts and our lives. And I believe there's another song we sing about talks about the river of gladness. It's the Holy Spirit living, fulfilling, working in through us, in our lives, giving our life purpose, giving our life. It's not in fame. It's not if everybody knows me, it's going to make my life worthwhile. That doesn't really mean anything. The song I read you, that guy, a lot of people knew him. But his testimony was he was empty and lost. He was undone. And I'm thankful today the Lord can fulfill us. In John, the 7th chapter, also in the 37th verse, John 7 and 37. Let's see. Let me get in the right chapter here. It said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Can you imagine seeing Jesus there and crying, "If any man hunger, if he thirst, let him come unto me and to drink." In verse 38 it says, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." In verse 39, he explains it, says, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." That is the fulfillment today. That's the crowning, the crown of life, the crowning portion is be able to have God's Spirit living in our lives. where I repent of my sins, I open my heart's door up to the Lord, I ask Him to come in, and He comes in and forgives me and gives me His Spirit. That is the crowning juncture of all creation. A new creation. It's a new life. It's eternal life. You know, when we've been saved, when we have found new life, when we die physically, when our bodies die, that's not the end of it. That is just the beginning. You know, He told the thief on the cross, He said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." We have something so much more to look forward to that God... He said in John there, another place, He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." There is mansions for us. There's place for us. Let's allow the Lord to fill us, to fill the needs that we have in our mind, our heart, and our spirit. God can meet those needs. I read this week the 23rd Psalms. What did it say? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." What does that mean? It means He's going to provide for me. He's going to meet the needs of my life. He's going to help me. If I'll walk with Him and follow Him and get the obstructions out of the way, He'll meet the needs of my heart and my life. And it goes on, He said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know, I like these green wheat fields in the wintertime when the grass is brown and the leaves are gone, and you drive and you see the cows are in these green wheat fields. The Lord is like that to us. We can eat, partake of things, when all around us it's winter, it's dried, it's dead looking. I can be partaking of green fields in my life. The Lord can do that. Do you believe that this morning? You know, sometimes you get a picture of people that have neglected their stock, and they're in these fields and there's not much nourishment and they're skin and bones. The Lord is not like that with His people. He's able to satisfy and meet the needs this morning. And I thank God for it. But Jesus cried and He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You know, also Psalms 23 talked about, He said, "He leadeth me beside the still waters. He provides green pastures." And I'm not getting this all exactly right quoted. But it said, "He filleth my cup. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Our cup can run over. And that's what the Lord desires for us today. You know, we live in a world where people are starving. You know, Brother Galen mentioned the one that had the big earring and the big hole in his ears. I've seen that a lot. Their ears got a big old huge... Perhaps they're wanting attention. Perhaps their heart is seeking for something more. They're not satisfied with the status quo. But making a big old hole in my ear, that's not going to satisfy the need of my heart, my life. The Lord Jesus can do that today. And I thank God that He can satisfy. I remember a guy here in Enid years ago, I was trying to encourage him in the things of the Lord, and he had back trouble, and there's a lot of things that was pressing in on his mind, and I just remember it so well because of the contrast. And I prayed with him, and we prayed, and he prayed, I prayed, and he prayed, and it just seemed like we weren't getting anywhere. And I was really young. I was, newly saved myself. And I thought, I want to call Brother Willie Murphy, Senior, there in Guthrie. Maybe he'll visit with us. And I called him. I think it was probably about, it was real early in the morning because I was over his place. We were, 2 or 3 o'clock. I called him real early in the morning. He said, yeah, come on over. So we went over there. And it didn't take a whole lot. Brother Willie listened to him a little bit, and he said, well, let's get down on our knees and let's have an agreement of prayer. And we had prayer, and he got up with a smile on his face and driving home. I think it was about this time of year, but everything looked different. Everything looked so much better. All of it, the trouble and the cloud that was over him, the circumstances, it was just like it was a new world. Things look different when we see Him through God. The Lord can give us new perspective, a new inspiration. He can give us help. He can satisfy those that need, that longing that we have. There's another song that we sing. It says, can a bird drink up the ocean? Thirsting still from shore to shore. Can the God of all creation leave thy heart yet craving more? There's a fulfilling portion I want to tell us. I had one experience where I got to a place where I couldn't take anymore. It was like, Lord, if you keep pouring this out on me, I'm going to die. It was like my body couldn't take anymore. There's a scripture too in Ephesians that talks about it. It says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The Lord wants us to be filled with the fullness of God. He wants our cup to run over, that when we're in circumstances and people are in trouble, He wants there to be, hey, there's something there. There's something running out of His cup that I can get a hold of. The Lord has it for us. Sometimes we limit God. We limit Him by our unbelief. We limit Him so many times. But God is exceedingly abundantly able to meet everything that we have in our heart, in our life. And I'm thankful today. I'm not seeking riches. I'm not. It feels good to have a little bit of money in the bank. I'll be honest with you. There's kind of a nice feeling to have a little bit. I don't have a whole lot in the bank, but I've got just a little bit. But I'm not seeking after riches. I wouldn't be here this morning if I was. Church of God ministers usually don't get very wealthy. But the Lord has another wealth. The Lord has a spiritual richness that we can enjoy and that we can have. I'm not seeking out a career to be satisfied. I realize the Lord has revealed Himself enough to me to know that it's not out there. It's not out there. Don't get on the enemy's treadmill. Those little rats that get in that little thing and they just run and run and run, feel like they're really going somewhere. They can just sweat it out, raise up their metabolism, their heartbeat. That's what the devil wants to get us on. And that's what happens when we seek happiness outside of God, outside of a relationship with Him. It's just a treadmill. And there's been so many. Darwin came down to death's door, he realized he was wrong. Charles Darwin never thought that people would take what and take it to where they did. People seem like wake up at the very end when it's time to leave this world. Many times they wake up and realize, I missed it. We don't have to do that today. We can live a simple life and be filled with the Spirit of God. And our life will be fulfilled and blessed. And we can, you know, we can welcome that day when the Lord ready to take us home. We can say, I'm ready. Isn't that valuable? Isn't that important? I've been with people on their deathbeds. I've seen them ready. I've seen them without hesitation. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Everything's taken care of. Lord, help us today to seek to be filled with God. Amen.